one.
Peyomei beis, we're talking about Rabbi Yossi said that if you had a malacha that is not posekas, which we said it meant that it wouldn't have to, if it's posekas, that means it would have to stop. Then such, and we said in the Mishnah, we said that it meant like, for instance, plowing. So then, if you work during the sixth year and you had to stop plowing as you came into the seventh year, so that became a loan. It's a malacha that did not have to stop, then it would not become a loan. Now we're going to actually see some more Ian into this matter. So Rabbi Yochanan Amar Kegon Karisha. Instead of begin, he has Kegon. So, for example, plowing, which is what we just explained. Rabbi Shimon Lakish Amar Kegon Binyan. It's something like building. Pay Alpha and Alpha.
So they started before
Shvius
and not Shvius came, and they're
going to
stop before Shvius.
Well, Rish Lakish is saying no, absolutely not. You could go ahead and you could have somebody building in the Shvius year. There's nothing wrong with having somebody do some, you know, building work.
As long as
you like. And when you're finished building, so then when you finish the job, so at that point, the job is done. It becomes due at the end of the job. So at the end of the job, it becomes a loan. So posekas, in other words, what we have here is a machlokas. What does it mean posekas b'shvius in the Mishnah? Rabbi Yochanan is saying that Rabbi Yaisi meant that it had to stop because of the Shemitah year. So therefore, the job had to end before the Shemitah year, and then thereby becomes converted into a loan. Rish Lakish says
it doesn't get canceled because it was before the
Shemitah
year, right?
It will get canceled. Any loan that's outstanding that you can collect gets canceled at the end of the Shemitah year. What's the definition of a debt?
You owe me money.
Well, is there a time frame on that debt? Do I owe you money today?
Well, if it's work, I'm supposed to be paying daily, then you owe me money today.
If it's daily payment, then I owe you money today. Fine. So if you didn't get your payment and you continue to work for me, the assumption is that you converted your existing debt into a loan. That's what the Mefarshim explained. If a worker decides he's going to go ahead and work anyway, even though I owe him the money, then that means he converted it into a loan.
The money that I owe is now a loan.
It's now a loan, and therefore...
Because it's a loan, I don't have to pay you.
At the end of the Shemitah year. Let's take a look over here.
Well, I have here Rabbi Yehuda don't hold like that.
Let's go ahead and look at some mafarshim over here. So let's look at number one first in the English footnote. According to Rish Lakish, any work that happens to be completed on Shvius is included in Rabbi Yossi's ruling canceling wages for work that ceased on Shvius because of Shvius and Rosh Hashanah Soif. So if the work is completed during Shvius, the wages become due at that time and are canceled by Shvius. If the work will not be completed until after Shvius, they're not due when Shvius ends, and therefore, it's not going to cancel them, right? So if I have a 6 month job to renovate your kitchen, and during the 6 months comes Rosh Hashanah of the eighth year, it's not going to be mishamed anything because you haven't reached the end of the job. Okay, there are different ways of learning the Gemara. We'll just learn it that way for now. Okay, Ma Rabbi Yosi ki Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yosi Amar kol malacha shei posekas shvius mashmetes. Now the Gemara is going to... Did I skip something? I'm sorry. No, I didn't skip anything. I'll say it again. Al-daiti Rabbi Yochanan kol malacha shei posekas b'shvius. According to Rabbi Yochanan, it means any malacha that ends because of shvius. Al-daiti Rabbi Shimon malacha kol malacha shei posekas me'ileho. So it doesn't have to end because of Shvius. It ends by itself because it came to an end. The job came to an end.
The building of a house is not caused by Shemitah.
Right. I completed the job in July of the Shemitah year. That becomes
a
loan. I
built a house for $500,000, and I come and say, sorry, Shemitah. I wouldn't write a life insurance policy for that.
Yeah, I think what's bothering everybody over has been bothering me for the past few days also.
What's
typically,
that?
The pashtus when you're Mavir Sedra, to me it seems like the idea of the hashmata of the loan is to protect the little guy from the big guy. You have a lender who's in a position of power who's loaning money to the little guy. In the past few Mishnayas that we've seen, it's the little guy who seems to be getting hurt. A regular worker, somebody who's the shop owner, it's more the little guy who seems to be getting taken advantage of, which is not the spirit of one would think this the Yovel and the Shemitah year is really about.
I really don't know where you got this idea of the spirit. I don't think the Pesukim indicate that there's any such spirit.
50 years of voting Democrat.
Maybe. Shamay Kol Baal Pasuk says. Any den at all. And there's nothing.
So these are not real. These are things that we're saying are deemed to be a loan. They're not loans. So to extend it to things where it's hurting the little guy, it's not really a loan, and it's hurting the little guy is like a...
Well, you know. I understand it's bothering you, but first of all, there's always a possible option, and second of all, right? And second of all, it doesn't have to be this way, right? Let's just do a little more Gemara, okay? So the Gemara is not going to say going to try to be told of Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yossi, we just said his rule of posakis b'shrius.
And
it's machlokas what that means, but let's ignore that machlokas for the time being because I don't think it really matters. Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish for what we're about to say. So Rabbi Yaisi, the Gemara is going to now say that, well, there's also a shita of Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah. What was Rabbi Yehuda's shita? That if you buy something, that becomes an outstanding, not debt, what do we call it yesterday? Hakafa, right? It's a credit that it's owed in the food store, for example, in the makoleh. And then when you buy another thing, then the first purchase becomes a loan. That's what Rabbi Huda said. The Gemara wants to know whether these two things are the two shitas are related at all. Is Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Huda somehow or other related?
Is that totally in the das of the people, or it's in other words? What they're saying is not how we think in Baltimore. Do you understand what I mean? If you have a grocery store and you have like Mrs. Bohm or write down on a card, you know what
right.
I mean? So she's not lending you the money. You still owe it to her, but it hasn't totaled yet.
That's the Tanakhama. That's the Tanakhama held that way. That's correct.
And that you can collect it?
Yeah, until it's Zokvan Olav Milva, until you went ahead and converted it to a loan.
Who converted it?
She could if she totals the amount. That's what we said. Yeah. Maybe you weren't missing. If she totals the amount and says, you know, you have an outstanding debt of $500 over the last 2 months, please pay up. Mm-hmm. So at that point, it becomes a loan. Yeah, that's what we said. So let's see over here. What's the connection between Rabbi Yossi, who says Kol Melacha She Posakes V'Shuyas Mashmetas, V'Sheina Posakes V'Shuyas Inu Mashmetas, is Rabbi Yossi hold like Rabbi Yehuda? Why? Because Rabbi Yehuda said he maintains with regard to store credit. When he does not demand payment for the earlier obligation, each obligation caused the prior one to be converted to a loan. Similarly, Rabbi Yossi maintains, let's see if we can see this connection, if a worker does not demand his wages upon completion of his work, the money due him is converted to a loan and canceled by Shvius. Right? It's basically, the connection here is, it's not so, you know, it's not a strong connection, but it's loosely coupled over here, right? Same way, the worker, it's like this. The assumption is the worker would not take another job from me if I still owe him money. for the job. In other words, he finished his work.
He never got paid for this
work. I never got paid for it. Why should I take on another project from you? If I do take on another project from you, then the relationship of that money owed changes a little bit. That's what the Gemara is trying to say over here. That the same way Rabbi Yehuda said when he had double purchases, that the first purchase converts to a loan. See, here too, if the worker decides to take on more work, then his original job converts to a loan. That's what it seems to be saying over here.
Who would do that unless there's some sort of forgiveness or there's an acceptance of a situation? It's more like a loan than a salary.
In the real world, no one would accept that.
Would accept what?
That he finished the job, and you still owe him the money, but you didn't pay him yet.
Right.
And now you tell him sorry, Shemitah.
You keep coming back to that point. I'm not sure I understand.
You really don't understand it?
Why you can understand that a money owed is money owed, regardless whether I worked for it, uh-huh. whether I took it out of my pocket after I worked for it and lent it to you. What's the real difference?
A salary.
This
difference
is hard earned money. I worked very hard to earn this money, and I'm lending it to you. And then you turn around and say, sorry. Well, what kind of baloney is that? That's the Torah. I mean, what do you want from me?
It's a salary. It's not a loan. If you borrow money from me, that's different.
Now, that's you're assuming a certain halakhic framework. I'm asking. A pshuto, that's the way it should be. Okay. The Gemara therefore comes out. Let's just read the beginning of 5 because it summarizes it. It emerges that according both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, they dispute the Tanakama's position that an obligation from wages or from store credit is not converted into a loan, according to the Tanakama, right?
Mm-hmm.
Unless it's formally established as a loan. That's called Zokhvan Olav Bemilva in the Lashon of the Tanakama. But Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda disagree with the Tanakama, and they hold there's another way for it to become a milva. Not only if it's not explicitly converted, but even if implicitly it's converted by virtue of either a subsequent purchase or by virtue, according to the last thing, according to Rosh Lakish, certainly, then you're taking on another job, right? Okay. So the Gemara, so this proposal, the Gemara, it says in the English, the Gemara accepts this proposal. That is to say that Rabbi Yossi is going to hold like Rabbi Yehuda. That is acceptable. Now we're going to go the other way. What about Rabbi Yehuda holding like Rabbi Yossi? However, the Gemara says, it's tough to read this because there's so many gersos changes. For Lord Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi. However, Rabbi Yehuda is not going according to Rabbi Yossi. Why? Even though he holds a store credit becomes converted only when a further credit is extended, when it comes to a laborer's wages, he holds like you, Rabbi Oberstein. Regarding a laborer's wages, he does not require the laborer to have completed his work for the wages owed to him to be considered a loan, which is canceled by Shias. What does he hold? 7. Let me just see what he holds. It may be assumed that a laborer does not begin his work until he receives his pay, and if he does, it's because he's rendering the wages alone, and it is canceled by Shvias. So
he's saying that he has paid her before he does the work.
At this point, the Gemara has this strange thing here, that the laborer will not begin his work. Okay, now this. We have to speak out. We have a Mishnah about a money exchanger. So there's a Mishnah in Shavuos. Let's do number 8, footnote 8. The Mishnah is a case where the money exchanger, again, I'm coming to the money exchanger with a large coin. The money changer is going to give me small coins in exchange, right? So I've got my silver dollar. He's going to give me four quarters, right? So the money changer will never give me those four quarters until I hand him the silver dollar, right? It'll never happen. He's not going to say, oh, here's four quarters. Can I have the silver dollar? Never. That'll never happen. So therefore, what's the difference? The Gemara talks like this. Tanakama holds that... What?
Present-day bank.
Yeah, probably similar to a present-day bank. Or even if you go to anybody that exchanges, you know, dollars for shkolim in Eretz Yisrael, they will not give you the shkolim until you give them the dollars. Okay, so it's a case where the money changer gave the customer his change, but claims he never received the larger coin from the customer. So the Tanakhama says the customer has to swear he gave the larger coin to the money changer, and then he's free. In other words, he's nishba and he's potter. But Reb Yehuda disagrees. He holds no. It'll never ain't derech for the chenveni to the shulchani rather to give. And it's going to quote it right here. Afal gav Reb Yehuda Amar ain't derech hashulchani liyos no sein iser achi yitol dinor. It never will happen, and therefore there's no need for you to swear because it's pashat that what you're saying is true. Right, I'm saying I gave him the large coin. He's saying he never received it, but I have the small coins. So Rabbi Yehuda is saying he must have received it because he would never have given it to me otherwise. Right. So now the footnote says here is that the laborer does not begin work. So the mashal here is his work is the small change, right? In the nimshal, and his getting paid for the work in advance is the shulchani getting the large coin.
But nobody pays in advance.
You're getting the large coin. Okay, that's the mashal. Just like Rabbi Yehuda says that the shulchani is going to get the large coin first. So too, the worker won't begin his work until he gets paid. So that's how they're the same. I'm just telling you what it says over here. It's very difficult to understand conceptually.
You're talking about the first job or the worker's subsequent job?
The first job. First job.
He wants to get paid up ahead of time before he even starts.
That's correct.
That was the beginning.
That's what it says over here. Mm-hmm. Number 7.
Number 11 says...
Right. Now, hold on a second. So the Gemara, that was the Havamina.
Yeah.
That was the Havamina. So therefore, Reb Yehuda is not necessarily like Reb Yaisi. But the Gemara now rejects the proposal and says, Afagav Reb Yehuda, even though Reb Yehuda says when it comes to a shulchani that he won't give the Isser unless he gets the dinner first. The Isser is a small coin, dinner is a large coin. But he'll be maida beskar socher. Nonetheless, he agrees she'ein ol b'sof that the worker will only, on a very regular basis, get paid at the end of the job, like you're saying. That's the normal way. So therefore what? 11. Only regarding a money changer does Yehuda hold this way, but as far as labor, he concedes the wages are due only when the work is completed. Hence, we can agree with Rabbi Yaisi's ruling that Shvius cancels wages only when the work was completed. So the Gemara tried to say like a twisted type of thing to say that they do not coincide with each other, and the Gemara rejects that proposal and says, no, they can coincide. All right, it's a little convoluted. Now, let's keep going. In Hayah Chayash Ma'ubar, if it turns out that the month of Elul was 30 days, and then we say the first day of Rosh Hashanah was actually the last day of the Shemitah year, and it will be canceled. Rabbi Yomer, Rabbi says, Nisan Nisarba Miyamav, that Nisan never was a leap month. That doesn't mean Nisan. What he actually is referring to is the month of Adar. When he says Lo Nisaber here in the Gemara, what it means is that the Rosh Chodesh Nisan was never 2 days, because if Adar was a Chodesh Meubar, then Rosh Chodesh Nisan would be 2 days, right? Because that way the first day of Rosh Chodesh is the 30th day of Adar, and the first day of Nisan is the second day of Rosh Chodesh. So what he's saying is Nisan lo nisar miyoma, there never was. In other words, Adar never was 30 days. It was always 29 days, never more. Right? That's Rabbi's statement. V'hasninon, we have a Mishnah in, now we're on Amud Beis, on Pei Alfon Beis. So you know, we have a Mishnah in Shkolim, in the fourth parak, right? In Ba Chadosh Bizmano, we have here, this is our gear, so we changed it. If the new half Shkolim came in the proper time, now let's just remind ourselves about Shkolim and the relationship to the Beis HaMikdash. What they used to do is they used to be Machriz on Rosh Chodesh Adar. Everybody should know that it's time to be give your annual donation to the Beis HaMikdash. In order for a carbon tumid to be a carbon tzibur, the tzibur has to pay for it. So what we used to do is we used to come in and make donations in Chodesh Adar and put it into the shofar, which was designated for the shkolim, the takan chatan, for the new coins. So if they came in time, then they would separate the money from the treasury on the first of Nisan and purchase the sacrifices with the new shkolim. But by saying if they came in on time, that means that the full 30 days was available for the collection. And for there to be a full 30 days, Adar had to have, it would result in having a Chodesh Mu'bar. The reason why the Gemara picks 30 days is because why were they Machriz on Rosh Chodesh Adar? Because we are Machrizim Shloshim Yoim Kohen Machag, right? We always call out 30 days before the holiday, you know, the halachas of the Chag. So therefore, 30 days is the standard.
But that would be the 15th.
No, but for this purpose, the new Karbonis, starting with Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the Karbon Tamid, that needed to be 30 days before that time as well. So whenever there's something major announcements to be made, we give 30 days of advance notice for the tzibur, give them a chance to come up to speed on what they need to do, right? So the Gemara says, Imba loba, yeah, you're right. If it happened that way, then that would have been the halacha, but it never happened. Loba, but it never happened. It's an academic thing. It actually never happened. That's the first kasha and teretz on Rebbe. Second statement of Rav. Rav Amar Tishrei lo nisar b'miyamav. That Tishrei also never was 2 days. Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. In other words, forget about Rosh Hashanah. Just think about Rosh Chodesh Tishrei as being the 30th day of Elul and the first day of Tishrei like every other Rosh Chodesh is. So he's saying it never happened. Elul was never a mole, right? It was always a chaser. 29 days in Elul. And then the 30th day was Rosh Hashanah. Chataninon, the Gemara says, our Mishnah says just the opposite. Our Mishnah says that if the Chodesh Adar was Me'ubar, if Elul was full, then it turns out that Rosh Chodesh was the first day Rosh Hashanah was actually the last day of the Shemitah year. So you see, sometimes you could have 2 days of Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. So the Gemara says the same answer. Imhaya, lohaya. If it would have been that way, the Mishnah is saying an academic rule, but it never happened, actually. Never happened. Now, Ukisha Kishua Sashana B'Usha. Now, Usha was in the Golos of the Sanhedrin. One of the stops was Usha. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So when the Sanhedrin was Gola during the Chorban, and they stopped in Usha, so they were Mekadesh Rosh Hashanah, they were Mekadesh the Shana there. So the Gemara is talking about a machlokas. There's a machlokas in Rosh Hashanah. When did you blow shofar in Musa for Rosh Hashanah? So there's two shitas. There's the shita of Rav Yarkin Manuri. Yarkin Manuri says you said Malchias, the psukim of Malchias in the third bracha, and the shofar was not blown. And the first blowing of the shofar was in the fourth bracha. And Rabbi Akiva argues, he says no. He says that the Malchus was said in the fourth bracha, and the shofar was sounded then. Okay? So, okay, we got a Machlokas here. Exactly when they said Tzuke Malchus. Right? Was Malchi Yesed in the third bracha, which is Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri's shita, or was Malchi Yesed in the fourth bracha, which is Rabbi Akiva's shita?
But they blew the shofar in the fourth.
But they blew the shofar in the fourth regardless. So now, when it was an Usha, so he went ahead, he went ahead and said the bracha, the third bracha of Malchius, like that shita. So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel objected. He said, no, lo hayinu nagin kein b'yavda. That's not the way we did it in Yavda. You know, we're here in Usha, we're already forgetting what we did in Yavna. So Bayom Hasheni, the second day of Rosh Hashanah, so Avad Rav Chananya Bnei Shom Yosi HaGlili, he, Amar Kedavi Rabbi Akiva, so he went ahead, he stood up, and he changed it. He decided to do like Rabbi Akiva. He said the Psukei Malchias in the fourth bracha. Amar Rav Shem Ben Gamliel, Kena Yidu Noigim in Yavna. So that Rav Shem Ben Gamliel says, that's the right way to do it. For her, so Hatani Kitshuhu Barishan Uvasheni. So it says that they did the sanctification both the first day and the second day. So it's again not like Rav, right? Rav said that it never was Ubar. Here you see clearly that it was 2 days. So the Gemara says Rebbe Zei Rebbe Shem Rav Chista Isa Hashanis Kalkal. That what? That year was disrupted.
They made a mistake.
That's, what does he say here? The people did not know what the Bezin added an extra day to Elul, assumed that Elul was deficient. So they calculated when Rosh Hashanah would fall by counting 30 days in the beginning of Elul, not realizing this year Rosh Hashanah falls a day later. So the holiday in Kippur and Sukkot were also not celebrating the proper days. Okay. Actually sure exactly what the pshat is. This Gemara is a very strange Gemara, because he points out in the footnote what's this got to do with anything? We're always knowing 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. In other words, there's two issues here. Is the first day Rosh Hashanah the last day of Elul or not? That's one issue. Then there's a secondary issue, is how many days of Rosh Hashanah are we knowing? You could be knowing 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, and the first day of Rosh Hashanah is for sure Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, the first of Tishrei. Having 2 days of Rosh Hashanah has nothing to do with the fact that it's not the 30th of Elul. So what was the Gemara? So you could have this conversation between the Tanoim as difference in Hanhaga between day one and day two of Rosh Hashanah, and it would not contradict Rav at all. The whole kasha doesn't make any sense. This is a very difficult question. You follow what I'm asking?
Yeah.
Right? So that's what he says. The Gemara's question requires further explanation. The observance of 2 days of Rosh Hashanah does not indicate Elul is full. In fact, today Rosh Hashanah is universally observed in 2 days. And it goes through the basis. However, this brisa nevertheless presents a difficulty for Rav. Why? For the environs of Besdin, because that was, we're talking all the way back in Usha. So then it was being Mekudesh Ayidei Besdin. In the environs of Besdin, only one day Rosh Hashanah would be observed. So if 2 days of Rosh Hashanah were observed in Usha, where Besdin convened, it must be because he subsequently added a day to Elul. In other words, he's saying it's not because of a suffix, right? As to which day was Rosh Hashanah, like it is now, like that's our Hanhaga nowadays. You follow what I'm saying? In other words, what he's saying here is, he's saying that in Usha, even though we know we do 2 days of Rosh Hashanah because one time it was the Edom were late to Besdin, right? And because they were late, so we it was this Kakul Halvi and Bashir, and therefore we went ahead and we said, so they went ahead and they didn't accept the Edom until the next day because they came in a Minchah Lamala. So therefore it's considered, 2 days. But it wasn't that That Hanhaga that goes to our Hanhaga, that's Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, is the first day Rosh Hashanah, right? And the second day Tishrei is the second day Rosh Hashanah. Here, we're not talking about that case. Here, here the Gemara is assuming that since we're in Beis Din, and it's in Usha, and they're doing it Al Pi Re'iyah, that if there's a Yom Rishon and a Yom Sheni, the Gemara is assuming they must have decided to make your Elul a Chodesh Me'ubar, and added another day to Elul. And that's the basis of the Gemara's kasha. So what's therefore the answer of the Gemara? Isa Hashanah is Kalkala. I'm not sure what that means then. So what does it mean, Isa Hashanah is Kalkala?
They made a mistake.
Maisha says, Isa Hashanah is Kalkala. Yiru Lahem Isa Kilko V'Toz B'Cheshman. There was some kind of mistake in the Cheshman, and therefore they had to make 2 days. I don't know exactly. Okay. The Gemara says like this. Now that last statement was apparently not an answer for Rav. That was just an interruption to comment on the Braisa. I'm not 100% sure what the point of that comment was. Let's ignore that for the time being. The Gemara is going to answer the Kashan Rav. Ma ben Rishon and Ma ben Sheni. What does it mean, Rishon and Sheni? So he says it doesn't mean the first day Rosh Hashanah and second day Rosh Hashanah. He has a new pshat over here. He says, Rav B'Shem Rav, Shana Rishonah or Shana Shniyah. It means the first 1 year on Rosh Hashanah they did it one way, and the next year they did it another way. But Rishon and Sheni is not referring to the first day Rosh Hashanah, second day Rosh Hashanah. It's referring to year one of Usha, year two of Usha. So that way we get out of the problem. That way we don't have any problem on Rav, because they never made it a Chodesh Me'ubar. Yom Rishon Yom Hasheni, and the Braisa taught explicitly that it meant first day, second day. So that's a you can't say it's referring to the second and first year, second year. And the Gemara ends with a kasha. Okay. That's a little bit of a difficult Gemara.
When's the last blot?
The last blot is Tuesday next week.
Tuesday next week.